Hi there. I'm Paul Boger, host of KNPR State of Nevada. Enjoy this conversation from the show. If you like it, please follow us, and thanks. From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Paul Boger. This is State of Nevada. If you've driven around the Las Vegas Valley in recent days, you know the 4th of July is right around the corner just by all the roadside fireworks stands that have popped up. Fireworks at the best of times can be a risky proposition. In a desert, they're downright dangerous. That's why only so-called safe and sane fireworks are allowed. However, that's not going to stop some from crossing over the county line and buying illegal fireworks, stuff like mortars, bottle rockets, and firecrackers, and turning the holiday into what feels like a war zone to some residents. Here to talk about what's at risk this holiday weekend is Deputy Fire Marshal Rick Rozier with the City of Las Vegas' Fire Department. Rick, welcome to State of Nevada.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
Las Vegans often go to places like Pahrump or neighboring reservations to buy fireworks that are illegal in Clark County. Where should people be buying their fireworks from?
Now, this year we're telling everybody to buy local and stay legal. And basically what that means is the 200 or so booths that we have spread out all over the valley, those sell the safe and sane fireworks that were tested and approved for sale by the Fire Prevention Association of Nevada.
So what qualifies as a safe and sane firework?
Well, a lot of things. The main things that we're looking for, they don't explode. They don't travel through the air, not to say that they won't shoot sparks in the air, and they don't travel across the ground. So those are the main three things that we're looking for, and then they're effectively tested by the association to make sure they don't burst into flames after the effect is over and those types of things.
So the 4th of July can be chaotic, to say the least, for emergency services. What kind of call increase do you see?
You know, actually, I spoke to the dispatching chief this morning just to kind of get those numbers. And last year, they got approximately 1,200 calls between 6 p.m. and 6 a.m. on the 4th. And to put that in its perspective, on average, they get about 1,400 calls in a 24-hour shift.
Oh, wow. So that is quite an increase just for one shift there. Talk about staffing. Is it an all hands on deck?
Yeah, for the firefighting crews, it's standard operating practice where all the stations are filled, all the apparatus is being utilized. In our prevention division, it's basically everybody's working that night. It's a long night, a lot of enforcement and inspection activities, but yeah, it's pretty much all hands on deck.
During the holiday, talk about what kind of calls you're responding to, at least from, you know, is it going to be all fire situations or are you also dealing with a lot of medical things?
Last year, for example, we had 125 incidences regarding fireworks, and we had some burn injuries, outside fires, which, you know, are basically palm trees and pine trees and, you know, all the other vegetation that catches on fire. And then we had 7 building fires, and that's fairly common for that type of evening.
Local municipalities in Southern Nevada are on a campaign they're calling Safe and Sane. We mentioned those Safe and Sane fireworks just a moment ago. Metro has been confiscating illegal fireworks. Do these sort of things actually work, these safety campaigns?
You know, it's a drop in the bucket, to be honest with you. We do our best to try to have an impact, but the reality of it is if you look outside on the 4th, it is literally like a war zone outside. And the few number of people, I mean, even though Metro has quite a few people working that evening, you know, with this target in mind, it really does hopefully create a little bit of buzz out there, but the reality of it is I wish it would do more. I wish that we could make a bigger impact, but that's why these education and messages are that important. Try to get out in front of it and explain the hazards that are associated with these type of fireworks and hope that the people will do it on their own.
You know, we had Metro on last year where they talked about they have police stationed in neighborhoods where they just watch the skies and they follow the fireworks and they go to one house after another. What sort of punishment or fines could people be faced if they're caught with illegal fireworks?
I don't know about all 4 jurisdictions, but the county and the city of Las Vegas have both passed civil ordinances, which allow us to fine, I believe, $250 for the first offense and $500 for additional offenses. And I believe in the county, they also have disposal fees, which can get extremely high when you're looking at those fireworks as being a hazardous material.
That's Rick Rozier, Deputy Fire Marshal for the City of Las Vegas. I want to turn now to someone on the post-incident side, fireworks safety, Dr. Jay Coates. He's the Medical Director of the Sunrise Hospital's Burn and Reconstruction Center. Jay, welcome to State of Nevada.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Just want to note that you are a working doctor and could get called away at any time, so we are going to be aware of that. You know, talk to me a little bit. What are common injuries from improperly handling fireworks?
Well, you know, it's usually things where people are trying to hold on to them, throw them at each other, premature detonation. So, you know, we'll see a lot of those, followed by people that are just hit by, stray fire shrapnel, if you will, little sparks or things like that that may directly burn them or set their clothes on fire.
Do you mostly see adults, kids? Is it a mix of both?
It's a mix of both. And, it's the 4th of July. So, besides the fireworks, a lot of times we'll see things where, from cookouts, propane explosions, people catching on fire like that. But there's definitely a mix. A definite uptick in kids, though, during the 4th of July for what we see.
Just how much of an increase over the 4th of July weekend do you see?
Well, on an average week, I'll see anywhere from 10 to 30 burns, minor. So probably about double that, over the weekend. It can, Monday's going to be interesting because a lot of these are things that are going to require some sort of surgical intervention or treatment. So, it makes for a busy week the following week.
And what parts of the body are being burned?
Well, it's usually arms, legs, mostly things like that. Sometimes people get hit in the face, but it's typically hands and arms.
Based on your experience, have firework-related injuries become more common in recent years?
I got to tell you, I don't think they've become more common. It's pretty steady that what we see over the 4th of July. I can't say that I've seen an absolute increase. We'll have those one-offs here and there where there's large injuries from them. But, it's usually things like people burning their fingers or something like that.
So, at what point should somebody who's gotten a burn seek medical care?
Well, anytime it looks like it's blistered, it's painful. Most of these are bad first, maybe second degree burns. But when you start seeing blistering and redness, or it just becomes painful, it's worth seeking attention at that point in time because burns can progress over time sometimes. And what doesn't look too bad today, tomorrow might actually look a little bit worse.
So, talk me through the process. Somebody has come in with a bad burn into the emergency room. What's going to happen over the next day, a couple of days, or maybe a couple of weeks?
Sure. It depends on, again, how severe the burn is. But let's say your average second degree burn where you've blistered or sloughed off skin. We're in a place now where we take most of those to the operating room because it's quite painful to debride those. We'll debride in the operating room, take off all that dead skin, uncover everything. We will put on one of a few different products depending on where the burn is. We use a lot of times what's called a cadaver graft, which is a donated skin product. It's like a biological band-aid. We'll also use amnion, which is a stem cell. We'll put this over the burn and then we monitor. It's usually anything that doesn't heal within 10 to 14 days will likely require a skin graft.
How often do you see those sorts of burns, I guess, on these major holiday weekends?
All the
We're
time.
doing skin grafts, I guess.
Scare out. Yeah. I mean, that we all the time. I'd be rare for me to have a holiday where I don't see them. So,
Are there any particular firework handling habits or even particular firework types that you would recommend people avoid to stay safe this year?
well, it's common sense, which isn't always so common, but it's a matter of, like I said, try not, light them and get away. Don't hold on to them. Don't throw them. Don't throw them at each other. Those sort of things are the things that are really going to protect you from getting burned. And then once they go off, as you said, we've got a lot different fireworks in the city now than we used to, of things that fly through the air. But if they hit something and they explode or there's sparks coming off of them, try to stay clear of that so they don't hit either your skin directly or set on a, set your clothing on fire. And then always have something nearby, a water source, fire extinguisher, or something like that in case there is a fire.
And what should people do if they have a small burn, something they can treat at home?
First thing is run cold water over it to stop the burning process. And then most likely, if you can just put an antibiotic ointment on it or something like that, or a small bandage to cover it, you'll be fine. And if it progresses or looks worse, then yeah, you should seek treatment or have it looked at.
Rick, I want to fold you back into the conversation. What should people have on hand if there is a fire before authorities come?
Well, what we usually try to recommend is, you know, while you're shooting off the fireworks, have a bucket of water or a charged hose available at all times. Soak the fireworks. We do get a lot of fire calls from people throwing their fireworks away in their trash can. They rekindle, set the trash can on fire, and then it spreads to the house. So keep the trash can away, even if you've soaked it. Keep it away from your house 10 feet. And, you know, again, we just recommend soaking them or watering them down for, you know, an hour, 2 hours after you use them.
It seems like things get louder and more chaotic every 4th. We hear people say that a lot, too. Is that something that's really happening to your knowledge?
You know, that's a good question, and I wish we had better metrics to quantify that. All I can tell you is anecdotal from the several years that I've been doing this. It doesn't look like it's getting any better. It looks about the same. Maybe with more people comes more fireworks, you know, as the population grows. You know, we're looking. The city is doing, I think, 5 shows, and then we've got the big show that's going on the Strip, which is going to be similar to the one that people see on New Year's Eve. So we're encouraging people to go watch a free show. It's going to be a lot better than anything you can buy. It's going to be nice. You can relax, enjoy yourself, and watch the free show. I know Clark County is doing several shows. So there's options. So we hope that the people will take the safer option and enjoy themselves this 4th of July.
That is where we are going to have to leave it. Rick Rozier is a deputy fire marshal with the City of Las Vegas's fire department. Jay Coates is the medical director of Sunrise Hospital's Burn and Reconstruction Center. Rick, Jay, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And as a note, the City of Las Vegas and Sunrise Hospital's parent company, HCA Healthcare, are financial supporters of Nevada Public Radio.